Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show with John and Hugh from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday. A lot of big headlines. The Braves are back home. They play their final exhibition game of the year after beating the Reds last night. They play at 1 o'clock this afternoon at SunTrust Park, and then we're done with all these silly games that don't count. Dansby Swanson homered in the game last night, and Josh Donaldson had a big ringing double in an 8-5 win.
Working the mullet.
Yeah, Donaldson's got a mullet.
Yeah.
Then they play today at 1, and then they're off tomorrow, and they're up to Philadelphia for the opener on Thursday night with Julio Teheran on the mound. So the Braves are back. The Hawks play tonight on the road in Stinky Town against the Pelicans. Tip at 8 o'clock, pregame at 7:30 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we're all waiting, of course, for a couple of things, one for the Sweet 16 and one for the competition committee in the NFL.
See what they're going to do.
As to the Sweet 16 first, and then we'll get back to the NFL here. We have our pool, as you know, going on. And into the Sweet 16, since it's been chalk, we have a lot of people that have done very well. I have one of them.
You didn't do well, John.
Well, I am currently in 1,088th place.
Let me see what I'm at with this here.
Boy, what are you shaking your head for, Daryl?
I expect more out of you, Fricky.
Well, you know, I mean,
but he did get the one right about the SEC. He predicted that the SEC was going to do a lot better, so I gave him props for that one. He did predict that.
My Final Four is still intact. So if my Final Four makes it and my title game makes it and I pick the champion, which was Duke, you know, that's really what this comes down to. If you get
the Final Four and
you get the championship game and you pick the champion, you can make up a lot of ground in a huge hurry.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, your champion is probably going to be like everybody else's champion.
Yeah.
So you got to pick the score, basically.
Right. I had Duke winning it all, beating Tennessee. That's the big thing. Tennessee should have lost to Iowa. Modern Vic and Jay Green are tied, okay? Jay Green had, I think, 15 of the 16 teams into the Sweet 16. Modern Vic and Jay Green are tied at the top for first. Then Travis 226, V-Dub 79, and Lulz are tied for third, 114 points. CTBDMD and OLOUGH, if that's Olaf, I guess, are tied for sixth place at 112 points.
You know, so it's funny, though.
Leaders in the clubhouse going to the Sweet 16.
Only ones, like, as far as the Sweet 16 go, that I had wrong. I had, obviously, Texas Tech. I had that one wrong. And Maryland. Wait a minute. Yeah. I blew both of those. So, yeah, my bracket's not that bad. I had most of them. I had most of them in. So, yeah, my bracket's not that bad so far.
Yeah, so, yeah, Maryland killed me, too. I don't know why I was buying the Maryland Kool-Aid here, but, you know, I guess I just ran with certain teams, and I did run with the SEC hard. I've got Auburn going far. I've got Tennessee going far. And, again, it's chalk.
I had Florida, but on mine, I feel pretty good about that. I did have Florida. Florida and Florida State and Gonzaga. I did have that one. That one right.
I went with the Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC. Those three leagues kind of ran them hard. And so you're going to make some mistakes along the way when you do that because – you know, you take everybody from the conference to kind of advance, and so that's where I got with Maryland, and I should never have done
that. I got 74 points, though, and I ranked 1,801 in my local rank.
So you're below John.
Yes.
I'm 1,088. You're 1,801?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I don't care. Hey, when you rank that low, I don't care.
Well, you're ahead of 235 people.
30, yeah, something like that. Because I don't care.
Because there's always that one guy, right? There's always that one guy who his Final Four is like, you know, going to be Yale and, you know, Iona. You know, there's always that guy because he wants to be right, you know. Hey, he wants to pick the most ridiculous pool you could possibly, pick.
Yeah, because that's bragging rights, you know, because they can hit you with that not for nothing. I'm the only one that picked so-and-so.
Yeah, it's because if you do that, then all of a sudden one of your teams gets to the Final Four and you say, I had Yale in the Final Four, you know, no, notwithstanding the fact you had everybody else doing nothing else either. A couple of quick NFL notes that we want to pass along to you. So Cam Newton, did you hear this story about Cam Newton?
Yes.
Cam Newton is there's something he's not doing in March. Now think about what may make you mentally stronger, okay? What if you wanted to abstain from something, what might make you mentally stronger?
This you is gave what, it away already when you said the word abstain.
Well, okay, here's Cam.
So no bets in January, then it carried over. February, what was February? Oh, vegan.
Vegan in February. Vegan in February.
And then March, I'm given no climax.
Woo! Oh. Shut the front door.
Straight up.
No.
I'm gone. Well,
they should at least done it in February. You got 28 days in February.
But I wanted it to be challenging. That's including no Wi-Fi. Yeah. So no Wi-Fi, no thigh-thigh.
No.
Thigh-thigh,
man.
Okay.
So how are you finding it? How are you doing? How is it?
It's hard.
I bet it is.
Amongst other things.
Oh, man, it's ripped that one.
But,
what made you want to do this? You want to take on this challenge?
It's challenging.
And it sure is challenging.
It is. So for me, doing certain things that challenge me in the off season that I can't necessarily do, so now when the season comes around, it makes my mind stronger. I feel like if I go back and I say I did those things, I'm mentally stronger.
He was on James Corden, by the way.
I see where he's going with this. Because initially when I heard the cut, it was presented like he was saying like not having relations makes you mentally stronger. No, he's saying he's becoming mentally stronger by resisting the temptation of, you know, that's the thing. Good luck with that, because last time I checked, there's only a few things on this planet that's undefeated, and that's one of them. That is definitely one of them.
Well, no Wi-Fi might be harder than no thigh-thigh. I mean,
yeah, like living without Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
but you know, I heard it once I hear it, because you know you read it when you read something, you know, people say, what is he talking about? It's going to make you mentally stronger. No, he's talking about the mental aspect of like, hey, I want to, but I told myself that I wasn't going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that right there, that's a fight. That's a battle that I'm pretty sure every man has tried to fight. And I, like, no disrespect to him or his significant other. They got three children. They got three children for a reason. They got three, and she ain't hard on the eyes. She's not bad to look at. No, I'm just saying, I'm not looking at the man wife. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not. Listen.
It's exactly what you're doing.
Listen, John. We as men, oh, can I break this down for y'all? Because I know Daryl hates when I do that. But listen, man, there's not a man on this planet that's going to be with anybody that they don't find attractive and they don't think that other people find attractive. That's just how we are. That's just how it is. So if I'm looking at your woman, it's because you did a good job of picking the one that you picked. That's it. I ain't trying to take your woman. I'm just looking. I can look. I got eyes. And I can comment because I work on the radio. If I didn't work on the radio, you wouldn't hear these comments that come out of my mouth. But I do. And I'm just saying what my mind is telling me to say because I work on the radio. It's not a visual medium. It's a you know, you got to listen to what I got to say.
Shout out to Cam Newton, who trains in Atlanta and lives here too in the offseason. Right. Much love, Cam.
Listen, if I see Cam at the gym, then I'm going to tell Cam the same thing. Hey, man, listen. Good luck with that. Listen. Hey, I'm just saying.
It's like never-ending Lent, okay, for Cam Newton, you know? I mean, he gives up betting in January. He gives up meat in February. Gives up meat. No. He gives up the thigh-thigh and
he giving
the Wi-Fi.
Up meat in February and in meat. He's giving up meat.
he has not yet given up on his tailor. That would help. That would impress me more than anything else. And if he gives up on football, that would be, for the Falcons, probably a pretty good thing. Gives up on throwing touchdowns in October. How about? So that's what Cam is doing this offseason, and he's going on the making the rounds there. You know, with Cam, it's so hard to tell. Is this a setup for, you know, Cam to have an MVP year, or is this
Cam
a setup?
Cam needs to get healthy, man.
You know, right. That's
Cam,
the thing.
Cam needs to get healthy. Bottom line. I mean, I understand what he's trying to do. He's getting mentally prepared for the season, and that this is the way that he's going about doing it. But he needs to stay healthy. That's it.
Makes me wonder what Ryan's doing, because, you know, because Cam's out there, you know, he's
playing
doing,
golf.
Well, I guess. But Cam's out here doing this kind of stuff. You know, he's denying himself something every month, right? And Jameis is out there getting fat. He says he's I'm 250 pounds of Jameis Winston, going to play at 250 pounds. He says he's put on 20 pounds of muscle.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
Listen, man, it's hard to put on 20 pounds of muscle in a short, like, I mean, it's not impossible. But it's really hard, because if you're training and you're it's funny, because I was talking to Daryl about this morning. Like, in order, like, you're putting on, what, 2.5 to 3 pounds of good muscle in a month. That's in 1 month. And you're talking about from the time the season ended until now, he's put on 20 pounds of muscle.
What he says.
I have to see that. I really have to see that. Like, and if you train – Like, if you train, you can look at somebody and tell if they're training to put that kind of muscle on, because you look a certain way. I know about my man Gokin. He just popped in my head. He was a guy who was not a bikini model, but like the dudes that wear the shorts. They're like figure models. They're not really hardcore bodybuilders, but they're figure models. And now he's trying to train to become a bodybuilder, because he has to get his legs big. John, he's been doing this for 2 years and still ain't hardly reached his goal. And he's been eating strict for 2 years, and he's getting bigger, but he still hasn't reached his goal. So, I got to see that. I don't.
One other quick headline here, because it's trending so hard on Twitter this morning. Conor McGregor, I know this is off the NFL, says he's decided to retire from the MMA. Do you ever really kind of retire from the MMA? I mean, you could hold your own fights if you're Conor McGregor. You go out and buy an octagon and just say, I'm fighting, you know?
He's getting a fight every time he lead a half.
Well, that's apparently true. I mean, he fights buses.
He fights people. He's slapping folks. He's putting hands on people.
You know, I fight phones. He fights inanimate objects a lot, phones and buses.
You know what's funny? A lot of people feel like he did that because I guess he was on television last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Gronk dominated social media for the most part. And maybe he did this because he felt some kind of way because he wasn't the talk of the town. Maybe. I don't see him being done, because he's one of those guys. He likes a lot of attention. And there's going to be an opportunity that comes up that's going to allow him to be back in the spotlight.
Well, that's my thing. He doesn't need MMA. He doesn't need UFC. Yeah. He can go out there and schedule his own bouts and just headline his own card. And, you know, get a promoter, rent an arena, and say you're fighting somebody, and he's going to make a boatload of cash. He doesn't need him anymore. He's bigger than the UFC.
I don't know about that. I think he's bigger in the sense that, you know, he's one of those guys that when you hear about him, you'll be like, what did he do now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's bigger than the UFC, though.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's say that, and this would be interesting, Let's say that at State Farm Arena, you had the UFC, okay? And you had, at the same time, you had over at Gwinnett, you had Conor McGregor headlining a card of the Conor McGregor's own thing. You know, like Lord of the Dance when the dude broke away, right?
Flatley, yeah. When he broke away.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, what are you more inclined to go see? I mean, is McGregor not a bigger draw than anybody in the UFC?
I would say, and please, UFC fans, chime in with this, but I would think off the top of my head, I would rather see UFC than Conor McGregor as a standalone entity. That's just my opinion. If somebody else feels differently, please hit me on my Twitter. But I don't feel like I would want to go just to see Conor McGregor act a donkey. I don't think I would want to see that.
But see, I think that's the show. I want to see Conor McGregor act a donkey. You know? Maybe he can bring Fat Jameis with it. All right, sorry, he's not fat. He's muscle. It's 20 pounds of muscle, sorry. Eat that W. Travis Schlenk going to join us in a moment. What Travis has to say about the NBA draft lottery, the NBA draft, where the Hawks stand, we'll ask him as we continue next. And we'll Trey win Rookie of the Year. All those questions to the GM as we continue with John and Hugh.
From Selection Sunday to the Big Dance, we cover it all because the NCAA plays here.
If I had described the playoffs in one word, the word would be precious.
Your home for March Madness is here.
For the win.
Oh! It's our exclusive coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Tonight, Hawks and Pelicans in New Orleans, down on the Swamp, 7:30 pregame, tip at 8 with Steve Holman on the call as the Hawks final 8 games of the year. And it's a tough little run here because you got a couple of games against Milwaukee, you got a game against Indiana. I mean, they've got teams in here that are in the mix that are playing for playoff positioning, and though Milwaukee at this point probably got the number one seed on lock. We are joined by the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, Travis Schlenk, who joins us this morning, as he does every Tuesday on the WaveForward.com hotline. Morning to you, Travis.
Morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing today?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Trav, I know you didn't fill out a bracket, but if you did, would your bracket still be in pretty good shape right about now?
I got one right. I got Murray State right.
You did. You did get that one right. You did call that one.
Yeah, you did.
He did call that one. Okay, okay. We give you that. We give you that.
Travis, you know, yesterday we were talking about Trey and the Rookie of the Year and the voting. And I know you have no control over Rookie of the Year voting, but I did think it was interesting to note because I found that the Dallas Morning News wrote a big column saying if you're thinking about voting for Trey Young over Luka Doncic for Rookie of the Year, it's just absolutely absurd, which is to say, there's some people in Dallas that are a little worried that Luka's not going to win the award.
Yeah, I didn't see that story. You know, Luka's obviously had a great year for them there in Dallas, so I understand why they're certainly pleased with him and feel excited about it all. Obviously, we're extremely pleased with the growth that we've seen in Trey throughout the year. I mean, it's no secret Trey had 1 month where he struggled, and that was November. But, you know, since December 1st, he's averaging 19.9 points a game, I think shooting like 44% from the field and 38% from three. So we're excited with the growth we've seen in him after kind of a rough start, which obviously is not unusual for a rookie, especially a rookie point guard coming in. So we're happy with it. You know, we're excited about the possibility of having two picks in the top 10 this year. Obviously, that pick from Dallas is protected to the top five. So there's, I think, about a 33% chance Dallas could get lucky and jump up. But then again, there's, you know, 67% chance we get that pick. So it's exciting for us.
You know, I know that, you know, watching Trey Young and seeing him grow, I'm curious to know if he is where you thought he would be at this point in the season, or is he far ahead of schedule in your mind?
That's a good question. You know, I guess I didn't spend a whole lot of time worrying about where he'd be at this time of the year. I think the biggest focus was that we just saw progress throughout the year. You know, I think early on, the thing that surprised me most was just his ability to get into the lane and finish. You know, that was a real question mark for him. You know, obviously, you know, coming in, We all knew about the shooting, especially from the long range, and you know that's gotten better as the year's gone on, as we know. I think that his floater, which didn't get a lot of publicity at Oklahoma, we felt would be a real strength for him, and you know we're seeing that play out as well. So I think all in all, I'm not going to sit here and say that we felt like Vic is exactly where he'd be. You know, coming off a Player of the Week in the NBA is a great honor for a rookie. First time that's been done this year by a rookie. So to say that we thought we'd be this far ahead probably would be inaccurate, but we're not surprised, obviously, that he's having success in the league. Obviously, we felt like he would have success or we wouldn't have picked him in the first place.
Yeah, we're talking with Travis Schlenk, GM of the Atlanta Hawks. Travis, do you guys sit around the players, the coaches, and talk about things like, you know, is it a topic of conversation that he should win Rookie of the Year, co-Rookie of the Year? Is that something you talk about?
No, we don't sit around and talk about it. I mean, there's enough people on TV and on social media doing that, so we don't have to worry about it. And like you said, it's really out of our hands, right? It's voted on by the media. You know, it's not voted on by the coaches. It's not voted on by players, like All-Star stuff. It's straight a media vote. You know, there's, you know, some people out there, like you said, the story in Dallas, they think you're crazy for considering it. You know, there's other people out there that feel like it's closer than most people think. You know, I do think the one thing I will say, I do think it's crazy that, you know, a lot of people feel like just because Trey had a bad month that it takes him out of contention. You know, what we've seen is Trey each month get a little bit better. And Luka got off to a great start. And, you know, his numbers have gone down, at least, you know, from efficiency standpoints between now and then. And to discount, you know, one guy's numbers going down, to discredit another guy who had one bad month at the beginning seems kind of crazy, but it is what it is, and you know we'll let the media do what they have to do.
Travis Schlenk joining John and Hugh talking about the Atlanta Hawks. A couple of big dates coming up after the season is over. The draft will be June 20th in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, but before that, about a month before that, on May 14th in Chicago, is the ping pong lottery, and I know that it's going to be a very We're all going to be on pins and needles, Travis. You are as well. Are you going to go? Who represents the team at the NBA draft lottery? Do you?
No, we're going to have Jamie Gertz up there again. She brought us some luck last year and got us up to the third pick, so she'll be our representative on stage. Certainly, I'll be there in the crowd, but she's a lot prettier than I am, so we're going to put her up there and let people look at her as opposed to look at me.
No, I'm not going to argue your point there. Yeah, he's right about that.
So Trav, I'm going to need you to follow me for a minute because I have this question, and I'm going to word it in a way that it doesn't get anybody in trouble. So you ready? I'm going to word it in a way that it doesn't get anybody
in trouble. You mean anybody? You mean you?
Well, him. Because we've been kind of skirting a little bit. There's this dude that plays basketball for this team. He's like 7 foot forever, and he had a pretty good game this weekend. And me and John were having this conversation about whether or not with this guy's size, would his game translate to the NBA in this day and age? Do you see a guy possibly being able to, with that kind of size, being able to play in the NBA in this day and age?
I think the real factor when we start talking about guys that are so big is, are they mobile? Are they going to be able to get up and down the court? And keep up with the pace of play. You know, let's say, hypothetically speaking, if this player is a collegiate athlete and his team just sits back in a zone all game long and he can just stand in front of the rim the whole game, in the NBA you can't do that. There's a defensive 3-second rule. And, you know, the vast majority of times you're in a man-to-man offense. And as a big guy, one of the most important things you have to be able to do defensively is guard and pick and rolls, which means be able to move side to side. So, you know, the way the game's played now, if you don't have lateral quickness or have the ability to move side to side, it makes it really tough for you to play in this league.
Yeah, it is interesting how it's changed and the game has changed and has become so much more of a game where you have to be able to get up and down the court. And the big guys don't usually dominate like they used to. I mean, it used to be you were 7'2", 7'3", 7'6", or whatever. You had a place in the NBA, and now they look at you and go, well, I don't know. You know, maybe not.
And we've seen that the rule changes, right? Like, there's no more hand-checking. You can't be physical on the perimeter. You know, guarding guys, you know, the old Jordan rules. You remember the Pistons used to just, you know, clobber him every time he went in the lane. You know, the game has changed. It's a much more free-flowing game, you know, and scoring as a result is up, pace of play as a result is up, but it's really put an emphasis on skill. And do you have the ball skills? Can you dribble, pass, and shoot, as opposed to are you, like you said, 6'8", 250 pounds and strong attack? You know, I think, you know, one of the things that as a side effect that, you know, all the triple-doubles you see out there now, you never used to see as many triple-doubles as you do now because the game used to be, A, slower, so there are less opportunities for assists and rebounds. And the rebounds, if you weren't, you know, a seven-footer standing in the lane, you wouldn't get a rebound. Mm-hmm. But now, because there's so many three-point shots and the floor is so spread, there's a way more long rebound, so it's much easier for guards to get those rebounds. And those are just some of the side effects. And I'm not taking anything away from the guys that go out there and get those triple doubles, but you know, I don't think you would see that if they're playing in the 90s just because the style of play and the pace of play is so much different.
Hawks and Pelicans tonight, final eight games of the season, playing through the tape for the Atlanta Hawks with these youngsters and seeing, you know, what they can get to 30 wins, 31. You know, I don't know if they can get to 30, but, you know, we'll see what they can do in terms of, you know, trying to finish the season strong. And all as we talked about last week, all in all, this season is going to be marked as a success because it's a foundational season. I think, Travis, already some of us, like me, are looking at this as you have really laid the groundwork. You, Coach Pierce, most notably Tony Ressler, Jamie Gertz, everybody, all the assistants have really laid the groundwork for the Hawks to have success. And as you go into the draft of free agency, I think, you know, you challenge yourself, but suddenly you're going to have something going into this offseason with the success that you've had with these youngsters that you haven't dealt with so far with the Atlanta Hawks, and that is you're going to have expectations.
Yeah, no, listen, there's no question that it's been a good year for us. You know, our young guys have, as we talked about, you know, not just Trey, but the rest of the group, we continue to show improvement along the way. You know, hopefully we do get lucky on the 14th, and, you know, if we end up with, you know, best case scenario, I guess, for us would be to have the first and the sixth pick. You know, worst case scenario would have, you know, just the eighth pick or something like that. So, you know, either way we look at it, we're going to have at least one really good pick. Hopefully we have two good picks, and, you know, once that lottery comes, we'll know where we are, and, you know, we'll be able to start pinpointing guys that we're looking at. And so it's exciting. And I think you are right. I think that there is a good vibe, not only here in the city about the Hawks, but around the league. So it'll be good, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, hopefully, as you said, with expectations, how our young guys react to that, because there will be a difference in that for sure.
Hey, Travis, do appreciate it. As always, look forward to the game tonight and, of course, back home Sunday against the best team in the NBA so far this season against Milwaukee. Thanks. Do appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Milwaukee does come to town on Sunday. That is Coach Bud returning back to Atlanta with the Greek Freak on Sunday, but the Hawks do play a couple of road games before then. I checked that. They're home against Portland on Friday. I jumped ahead of myself. Friday home against Portland, Sunday home against Milwaukee, tonight on the road against New Orleans. That game begins at 8 o'clock live on Sports Radio 929 The Game, and of course all the information on the Hawks at 929thegame.com. Is going to be here and take a look at the Sweet 16, tell us if he's changed his mind about anything, considering it's gone pretty much chalk, that maybe he was looking at a couple of upset teams. One of them he almost got in New Mexico State. Though now suddenly Auburn is you know, one of the two or three hottest teams left in the tournament, as they have won all these games in a row, ripped off the SEC championship, and now into the Sweet 16. One of a number of SEC, Big Ten. It's the Power Five leagues dominating. We'll talk with Deshaun coming up at the top of the hour. Also, as mentioned, Hawks play tonight. Braves' final exhibition game of the year, a 1 o'clock start at SunTrust Park today. Then they take tomorrow off, and Thursday they get it going. Can we please get to real baseball? And enough of this exhibition play, man.
Enough.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about the baseball season too.
I don't get this exhibition play at all. I really don't. I mean, I don't understand playing the Cincinnati Reds in games that don't count at SunTrust Park. It's not something that registers with me. I mean, I would rather they play Georgia Tech, or I would rather they go to Mississippi and play the AA team, or heck, you know, even Tony Schiavone was saying that they played the future stars in Gwinnett 1 year and had a sellout. I don't understand this Cincinnati Reds exhibition game at home. I don't get it. If it counted, okay, fine. But they obviously have a reason for it. Play all your exhibition games down in Florida and just start the season when you get here. But that's not what they do anymore. It's getting to be pretty common in baseball. You know, and before interleague play, it was one thing because you could play a team from the other league and, you know, the White Sox would play the Cubs because they never played. So it was kind of fun, but Dodgers played the Angels. That's not the case anymore. So again, Deshaun coming up top of the hour. I need some help here. I'm trying to figure out something.
What you got?
I'm trying to determine whether or not I'm going to go see a movie. And the movie is the new movie, Us.
It got great reviews.
I know, that's why
it got great reviews.
That's why I'm trying to figure out whether to go see it. See, I don't like horror films.
I heard that it's more a suspense film than actual horror. That's what I heard. But I also saw a lot of people that tweeted on my Twitter feed, they didn't understand the premise. A few people didn't understand the premise of us. You saw it, Daryl?
Yes, it was everywhere.
They didn't understand the premise. Like, I got a lot of that because a lot of people were asking, what was it about? I mean, what was the point? Now, from the little bit that I've seen, it looked like there's a duplicate family stalking this other family.
Not too many spoilers, but yes.
What? Oh, John, that's not a spoiler. That's the preview. I mean, you can see that on the preview. Hold up. That ain't fair. That is not fair. Yeah, that's the trailer.
Okay.
See, boy, y'all, I think y'all just being harsh because y'all ain't had a chance to do it in a while because I haven't had a chance to spoil movies for you. But that's what I heard.
Well, you want to tell us the ending of Captain Marvel? Is that what you want to do?
Nah, I haven't seen that one yet. I don't know if I want to see that. I heard that's gotten good reviews,
that's
too.
That's a great movie.
Yeah, that's gotten good reviews, too. I don't know if I want to go see that, though.
I did not see Get Out because I don't like horror movies. And so
I don't even consider Get Out a horror movie, John. I really don't. Get Out was one of those movies that made you think, and it made people uncomfortable. It made them a little uncomfortable because it was a movie, basically, to me, from my perspective, it was about stereotypes. Mm. It was about stereotypes and how they were enhanced to the point where certain things happen. And when I saw the preview for Us, it wasn't like I did. Like, put it like this. If I was going out on Friday night and somebody said, hey, let's go to the movies, that would not be my first choice, a movie that I would want to see. But if they were paying for the tickets, then I would go. I mean, if they were paying for the tickets, I would go. But if me putting my money in, I probably wouldn't do that. I probably would go.
I'm trying to determine because, I mean, I may have to just wait for it to come onto, you know, the Netflix or the Amazon.
Or the stick.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the stick. You have the stick.
You got to get for the Fire Stick.
Well, you got the real fire stick.
I got that fire stick.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm the kind of guy that watches Billions, all right? That's what I watch.
Yeah, I heard Billions was good.
Oh, Billions.
I heard Billions was good.
Yeah, Billions is really good. It's duplicitous. It's, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Backstabbing all over the place. Yeah, it's just a great TV show.
Big word.
Duplicitous?
I couldn't say it. Duplicitous.
And then maybe I could watch it on Apple. Did you see where Apple is going to do streaming now? Apple is going to jump into the Netflix, Amazon Prime game. And at first when I heard it, I went, oh, this is my way. And then I thought when Amazon announced that it was getting into the streaming game, I meant, you mean like the people that deliver packages are going to stream TV? Well, Amazon Prime is pretty nice, I have to say. And some of their original content is great.
Some of their movies, though, I don't like the way Amazon Prime is set up, though. I really don't. I understand the first run movies. I understand the ones that are just like, say, they've been out of the movie theater for about a month and things like that, charging for those. But they have some series on there that just because they aren't in the rotation of series to watch that you have to pay for.
That is not cool.
That is not cool. Like there was some Japanimes and stuff that I want to watch on Amazon, and you go to click the watch and it say watching options and it say rent for four. I'm not cool with that.
Yeah, not included with Prime is a problem. Because you don't go to Netflix and say not included with Netflix.
Yeah, I had a problem with that. So, yeah, I definitely did not like that aspect of it. But it's okay. It's one of those things where it's an alternative to Netflix sometimes. But you talking about Netflix, John, I watched a documentary on Netflix a couple days ago. It was about the Lance Armstrong scandal. Man.
Is that the Russian one?
No, I watched that one too. That one was Icarus. Right. I know which one you're talking about. I'm looking for the one that I watched about the Lance Armstrong one. But man, it talked about how Lance Armstrong throughout his whole career, there were allegations of him using performance enhancing drugs, and how he parlayed that into a empire, and how powerful he was in the cycling world, and what led up to his demise.
Livestrong was gigantic. I mean, Livestrong became huge.
Yeah, it was called Stop at Nothing, John. When I tell you that this was a side of Lance Armstrong that I've never seen. Like, I don't know the guy, but when you're built up to be some certain way and then you're a polar opposite of that, If you have time, people, watch that with Stop at Nothing. It is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It's in the Netflix Hidden Gems department. It is phenomenal. You need to watch that one. That was really good.
I'll check that out on Netflix. Sounds like something I'd be interested in anyway. It's not a horror film, is it?
Not at all.
No, okay. Just checking. I don't know why. I just don't like horror movies. You may love them. That's fine. I mean, we all like what we like. I don't like depressing movies, and I don't like horror films. All right. We have to pick and choose what we like. I also like DeShawn Tate. He's going to join us. We're going to talk about the Sweet 16. Who is going to be favored to win now? That's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.